Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Today we're continuing in our study in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. We're in Colossians chapter 3. Our focus is on verses 5 through 11 of the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapters 1 and 2 is the doctrinal section of Paul's letter and is his pattern. He always presents doctrine first and then our response to the truth of the doctrine last. So in Colossians chapters 1 and 2, Paul presents the doctrine of our completion in Christ. That once a person receives Jesus Christ, that person is then made complete. There's nothing more to do. There's nothing more to receive. Once a person has received Christ, we are complete in Christ. So in light of that truth, what are our responses? What is our responsibility? What is our duty, as some people look at it, as believers who have experienced completion in Christ? What are we to do? Well, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Paul presented the priorities of the believer. He says, therefore, if therefore you were raised up together with Christ, which is another different phrase that Paul uses to describe the salvation process, because the Bible says that a person is dead in their trespasses and sins. And once we receive Christ, we are literally raised from the spiritual dead. So he says, if you are one of those who has experienced being raised up together with Christ, then there's two things he says I have to tell you. Number one, be continually seeking the things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. We're all seeking something. We are all motivated to seek something in life. He says that if you are a true believer, then you should be continually seeking the things above, where Christ is, at the right of the throne of God. Secondly, in verse 2, first our motivation and then our meditation, be continually minding the things above, not things upon the earth. So be thinking the things of heaven, not things of the earth. And in his explanation in verse 3, which is very important for our texts for today, in verse 3, the reason why is he says, for you died. It's an aorist tense in Greek, which means it's a past tense. It's already happened. If you have received Christ, then you died, because Christ died your death on the cross. For you died, and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. Very important. Now, the word death in Scripture, as it means in our English language, doesn't mean to be non-existent. It literally means to be separated. So the day that I die, it'll be the day when my spirit separates from my physical body. You'll be left to bury or burn or whatever you want to do with it. Take it to the dump. Make sure the dump's open on that day if you decide to take my body over for a cheap burial. but my spirit will have left my physical body. It will have separated. I will have experienced death. It does not mean non-existence. It means separation. When the scripture says that when a believer, when a person receives Jesus Christ, that they died, it means that they have experienced separation from the sin nature that lives in our human physical body. And Christ has come to live inside my spirit. That's what it means to receive Christ. It doesn't mean to intellectually accept him. It means literally to receive Christ into my spirit, my being, who I really am in the inner person, in the inner man. But my flesh, my human body, still has the sin nature in it. Before I received Christ, the Bible says that I was ruled by my sin nature to continually sin against God. When Jesus Christ comes into my spirit, I am separated from that control. My human flesh still sins, but my spirit has been separated, or I've experienced a death from that because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He not only paid the payment and penalty for my sins, but he purchased me on the cross. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have received from God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price." When Jesus died on the cross, not only did he die for my sins, but he died to lay down his life to purchase me, to make me his own. And that ownership and that possession happens the moment the Spirit of Christ comes in and I'm born of the Spirit of God. I now have the Spirit of Christ residing inside of me and in my spirit, and he will be there throughout, from now throughout eternity. Even when my spirit leaves my body and I experience physical death or separation, he will be in my spirit throughout eternity, and I will be with his spirit throughout all eternity. So the reason why he says, if therefore you were raised with Christ from the spiritual dead, if you've been born of his spirit, then your motivation in life should be seeking the Lord all the time for everything. What is the Lord's will? What does he want in it? And meditating on the things of the Lord all day long. I think we all know, we don't really have to beleaguer the point. You can watch the news, you can read the newspapers, you can know what's happening in the world and know that your mind can be consumed with all the garbage and all the corruption that's going on in the world, all the difficulties and all the hardships. The Bible says, be continually meditating on the things above, the things of Christ. The reason why is because you died. You've been separated from all of those things by Christ coming to live within. And your life has been hidden with Christ. Last week in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 11, we began this section by studying or beginning our study of the principles of the completed life. Remember that once I received Jesus Christ, I have met all of the qualifications for salvation. There's nothing more that I can do. There's nothing more to receive. There's nothing more to add than that which Christ has done. So here are some principles that Paul wants to lay down. He says in verse 5, and I've given you a literal translation here of what the Greek text says. And this is very important because some people, from an English translation standpoint, don't understand verse 5. He says, therefore, consider you dead to your members which are upon the earth. Some English translations say mortify. Others say put to death your flesh. Well, it just got through telling me that I died. How do you put to death something that's already dead? So comes in the saying, beating a dead horse. I've already died with Christ to the members on the earth. People actually teach this. There's a teaching that goes around that teaches people on how to practice principles of putting yourself, your flesh, to death. You have already died. So consider you to be dead. That's your position. The sin in your flesh continues to function. But once you have received Christ, you are separated from that. You are a different person. Spiritually, you're one kind of person. You're living in a body of flesh that has the sin nature in it. So you have two opposing forces. Therefore, consider you dead to your members which are upon the earth. And he lists five things, five practices, of the things of the flesh, the members on the earth. Number one, sexual immorality. Number two, uncleanness. Three, passion. Four, wrong desires. And fifthly, covetousness, which is listed as idolatry. Covetousness in the Greek text literally means to want more than what you have. And it becomes idolatry in that whenever I want more than what I have, whenever I'm not content with what God gives me and I want more, then I make the way to get more my goal. And that becomes idolatry. Becomes my idol. Becomes the thing that runs my life. It becomes the goal of my life. So the cause for this command to consider myself dead to my members on the earth, verses 6 and 7, on account of which things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of the disobedience, among whom you yourselves also walked once when you were living in them. He says, you as a Christian, if you're living like the non-Christian, know this. The lifestyle that the non-Christian is living is going to be judged. So why are you living like an unsaved person who's under the judgment of God instead of the freedom that you have? You've been delivered, you've been saved, you've been separated from all of that. Now remember what I had said to you just a few moments ago. Salvation experience, once you have received Christ, once the Spirit of Christ has come in and you're born of His Spirit, you are separated from the sin nature that rules and reigns in your human physical body. I don't need to be saved from it anymore. I don't need physically as a human being or religiously to do anything to get free from the sin nature. For one thing, I'm stuck with it. It's in my human body. But secondly, it no longer rules over me because Christ saved me from it and forgave me for it. So what Paul presents then is not works in which we must do to continually get delivered from our sin, but he uses the terms to put off and to put on. These are clothing terms. Terms that would be used to put on a coat or to take off a coat. What he's saying is, you as a believer, you are no longer dominated by the sin nature. You are now dominated by the Spirit of Christ who lives within you, the Holy Spirit of God Himself. Therefore, and as we have said before, once you are saved, it's a matter of decision making. There's no physical effort that I can make to get myself delivered anymore. Once I have received Christ, I have been delivered. saved for eternity. And so when the desires of the flesh creep in, when the human element of my life and the sin nature begins to draw me back into its influence, we're told, put it off. You don't have to be delivered from it again. There's no demon that you have to be delivered from. You've already been saved by Christ. But what you need to do is put it off. That tells us in the scriptures that a person who has experienced genuine salvation in Christ can never say, the devil made me do it. Once Jesus saves a person, then to sin or not to sin is a personal choice. I'm no longer dominated by the sin nature. So he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, listen to this command. But now, notice the temporal adverb, now. Now, those of you who are saved in the now, you yourselves also, which means in the Greek text, it's emphasizing, yes, you yourselves, not anybody else. Now that Christ has saved you, put off all of these things. Anger, passion, adversity, blasphemy, and shameful speech from out of your mouth. Put it off. It's not, your life is not the expression of the flesh and of the human corruption anymore. Once you have received Christ, you belong to Him. But you yourselves must make the decision to put this off. You can't save yourself, and there isn't anything religious you can do to deliver yourself. If you have received Christ, you have been saved once and for all, completed. When I have the complete Spirit of Christ dwelling inside of me, I have the complete Spirit of God, all of Him. And by His Spirit coming in, that's what saves me. And I'm left in this human body. The human body is not saved. My spirit is. So that when the sin nature in my physical human body comes back and begins to attack and try to bring its influences over my life, I'm told to make the decision to put it off. In other words, if you're genuinely saved, you don't have to fight to do it. You might struggle to do it, but not fight to do it. We don't have to win another victory in order to do it. We don't have to be delivered from a demon in order to do it. The decision-making process is don't go there. Hard to do only because the things of the flesh are a very strong influence in the believer's life, and it has a tendency to draw us in to its influence constantly and continuously. But Paul said, interesting, in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, Romans chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, Romans chapter 6, he describes the salvation process that takes place in a person's life. After experiencing salvation in Jesus Christ, in Romans chapter 6 at verse 11, Paul says, likewise, calculate, reckon, you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. There's the word dead again. Sin doesn't cease to exist. I have been separated from it. You yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts of it. Because you have experienced death to your sin nature that still continues to function, then don't let it rule and don't let it reign in your life. You are now under the authority and the dominion of the Lordship of Jesus Christ himself. So in the midst of your struggle between the flesh pulling on you, trying to pull you back into sin, and the Spirit of Christ living within in order to draw us to Christ, in the midst of this struggle, it's a matter of decision making. Because of what Christ has done for me, it's decision making. The battle has been fought. The war has been won. I have already been delivered. But I have these influences in my life that pull me in different directions. But if I have been saved, I am not under the domination of any of those influences other than Jesus Christ. And I'm called upon to make the correct decisions. That when the situation arises, put off, take off the things of the flesh, which are listed as anger, passion. We mentioned this last week. It was in the list that we just read to you just a few moments ago. The members of the earth, one of the things is passion. One of the key phrases that I've heard recently is that somebody told me, and it's very accurate, I'm not putting it down, but it's very accurate when they say, I like to do the things that I'm passionate about. And if I'm not passionate about something, I just don't find the motivation to do it. Well, just going by whatever you're passionate about is a human motivation. We're to make decisions spiritually based on spiritual truth and the person of Christ. Passion is a thing of the flesh that we are to put off. I can remember here a couple of months ago, I gave a seminar for a baseball and softball team combination in this room. And I gave a seminar on hitting. And I guess I get worked up. I start out, and by the time the end of the seminar is over, an hour and a half later, you think you have it rough on Sunday morning. You should have been there for a hitting seminar for an hour and a half. But by the time I got finished and sat down, the athletic director got up and said, well, I'm sure you can see that Coach Klein is very passionate about this game. I was really into it. I mean, it's in my blood, so to speak. And when he said that, everybody kind of chuckled, but I kind of shrunk back, and the Lord ministered to me is, how passionate am I about something that's not of Christ? Yes, it is. You know, baseball's in my blood. I've been in baseball for over 50 years. It's like life to me in the human sense. That's a warning to me. It's a warning about getting so involved in something that you're humanly passionate about. Remember in the first hour we talked about hungering and thirsting. A spiritual passion for the things of Christ. Hungering for him. I can remember I was ridiculed by some Christians one time. It was about 1970, 1971. It was interesting because I ministered here in Santa Maria in 1970. And then I was in the process of transitioning back to Los Angeles in order to go back to school. My mother lived in Oxnard. And so I stayed with her in Oxnard. It's kind of like a stopover point for a few days before I went on and into L.A., looking for work and getting my school situation taken care of. Well, every Sunday, I was so hungry for the things of the Lord, but at that time, there's only one place that I got fed. That's all the way in Costa Mesa, church in Costa Mesa. So every Sunday, I drove from Oxnard all the way to Costa Mesa in Orange County, stayed for the morning service, went to lunch, found a park somewhere, took a nap, attended the Sunday evening service, and then drove all the way home to Oxnard. And the Christians were ridiculing me. So what do you go to all that trouble for? You got plenty of churches right here in Oxnard you can go to. I said, no, right now there's only one place that I get fed. And if I have to drive 2-3 hours to get there and 2-3 hours back, that's what I got to do. Hungry, thirsty. And I can remember people that used to come out here that used to complain. It's 10 minutes from town. It's too long of a drive. Well, you're not hungry. You know, you're not thirsting. You're not hungry. So in the human, we can have a passion about things. We have to allow God to show us the things that we are too passionate about. That's taking us away from the things of Christ. We have a tendency to get too compassionate about things that we really enjoy doing or really like to do. We have to be careful. It's anger, passion, adversity. The Greek word kakos has to do with just causing trouble for people, causing adversity for people. It doesn't have to be evil. It's just giving people a bad time and causing adversity for them. It comes natural in our sin nature as human beings. Blasphemy. Speaking blasphemy against God. And secondly, shameful speech, corrupt speech from coming from out of your mouth. Now, according to Paul, that when we fall into this trap, if you are truly saved, if you've been truly spiritually raised up with Christ from the spiritual dead, then it's a decision to put off these things. God convicts us, we stop. If a person is not saved, they're not able to stop. They're still dominated by these things. Back in Romans chapter 6, when Paul says, likewise, calculate or reckon also yourselves to be indeed dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, if you were to come to me and say, well, I'm really having problems with this. I know I'm saved. I know I have received Jesus Christ. I know I've been born of his Spirit. I would tell you, then consider yourself dead. And you're free to make a decision to put it off. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lusts of it. And then in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, he says, for sin shall not have authority over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace. He makes the statement of fact. Sin shall no longer have authority over you. Why? Because you've received Christ and been delivered. You are now dead to that area of your life. You're now separated from the authority and the dominion of the sin nature that's in your flesh. And Christ has delivered you. One day, we will be free from this physical body, and we're going to have a spiritual body, and then we will be totally complete. In the meantime, we wrestle with the things of the flesh. As born-again believers who are complete in Jesus Christ, we are called upon to take responsibility. Even though society, in many ways, gives us the freedom to do anything that we want to do. And in our day and age, all the corruption of lifestyle and speech we're free to do. And in most cases, it's just accepted by society. But we have a responsibility to put off these things and to meditate on and be motivated by the things of Christ So that, and as we will see next week as we continue in this text, that the very image of Christ is seen by others in and through us. That's the whole purpose of it all. We represent Him now. We've been purchased by Him. We are owned by Christ. For what? So that the image of Christ might manifest Himself in us and through us. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we continually read in the Scriptures our responsibility as believers to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow You. Though all of our salvation has been accomplished by Jesus Christ on the cross, we still have a responsibility as to how our lives are lived and what influences our lives and what influences other people see and are received through us. We pray that You would help us to become people of responsibility, to understand how serious it is with lives all around us who are hurting, that need to see and receive the Spirit of Christ through us, with all the corruption that's in the world, that other people would see people who are dominated by the authority of Christ and not the authority of the flesh. Help us to understand that we are to be responsible and to respond to Your call to represent You, to manifest You in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.